You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Daisy. We interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firm. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, and I'm your host. Today, I have a really cool guest who's a friend of mine, a colleague. We've worked together with multiple law firms that are his client and our client. And Andy Goldstrom's here today to talk about hiring coaches, why hire coaches, things to look out for. And he's helped a lot of our clients. He brings us in when we're needed. And it's just been a great relationship with him. He's helping law firms navigate and grow their businesses while we're helping on the other side for the marketing aspect. So again, it's been a good relationship. And I wanted to have Andy on the show to kind of share why hire a coach, what to look out for, the pros and cons, more of the pitfalls and things like that. So a lot of coaches out there, they're not all created equal. So Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me. And I really look forward to our discussion today.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of things to cover. So as always, instead of reading a bio or doing something like that, I like to have my guest introduce themselves, but tell their story and their background to kind of give us all a better understanding of who you are and how you can help our audience today.
Well, I've come to this place in a pretty logical manner and in a good way, where I started out as a small business owner myself and really had to learn all the different aspects of the business. It was a commercial real estate firm in the mid-90s, and I had to learn basically how to hire people, how to develop them, how to sell, how to market, how to do all the things you needed to do, how to manage a P&L. So I also experienced what a lot of small law firm or business owners experienced day to day, so I can empathize with them. What if making payroll, getting that next client? What if an employee quits? I've been to all of those places and had to learn. And I wish I had a coach back then, to help guide me a little bit more rather than learning. Fortunately, I was very motivated and we had a good value proposition, and the company grew quickly to be an Inc. 500 company by the turn of the century, which I'm very proud of. And I know your company has received similar recognition, so that's fantastic. And we sold that company in 2005. And then I took over for the founder of a company. So I learned what it was like to step in for a founder who kind of had done everything he could to grow it to a certain point, and became the president of that company. And that company grew and sold. And then the only thing that was really missing from my resume was global experience. So I took a job enhancing processes and working across 70 countries at a major investment bank. And I had people working for me, and I was working with people in New York, London, Germany, Singapore.
Wow.
And so I got that global experience in terms of the culture and the distance. Got a lot of frequent flyer miles, but it was a good thing. And then in 2016, I just said, you know what? I've made all the mistakes, learned all the lessons, developed all the processes. I think I have enough money in the bank. I think I would like to help others more. And I did that internally in the companies that I worked with or for, or frankly was an owner in. That was kind of my nature, was developing people and having good relationships with my clients. But it was a time where I was able to do that. And for a few years, I was on planes, diving deep into larger businesses and helping some smaller businesses. But then COVID hit, and it kind of changed the dynamic. And so I work with a lot of smaller business owners now. I've been doing that for several years. A lot of them are law firm owners, but they're not all. It's professional services. So I work with some CPAs and financial advisors and technology firms and things of that nature. But that's kind of how I got here, and work with firms like Array that I know are differentiated, that can both serve a purpose for the clients that I work with and and do a good job for them and make me look good at the same time.
That's an interesting story. Quite the background. And I say this all the time, but there's a lot of coaches out there or represent themselves as coaches that don't have the background experience. They haven't been there. They haven't run a business. They haven't, they're more taught through some other program. And, I think 100%, if you're going to hire a coach, you want to hire someone that's been there, done that, and experienced it themselves. That's the only way I feel they're going to be able to actually provide the value you need.
I have, I live in Atlanta. I've been here for 26 years. I'm originally from the Northeast. Nobody confuses me for a native Southerner. And there are a lot of, I've got a lot of friends who had a career at UPS, and which is based here. And they're fabulous, smart, good business people. But when they took their early retirement, they decided to put out a shingle. And all they've done is worked for a 200,000 person company. Very different dynamic and very different experiences that people provide. And so, it does make a difference having been there, having made the mistakes, having learned how to adjust, and having had the variety of different experiences that I've had with different companies.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially for small business, right? And that's my passion. I was small business. I own a few of them, but I love helping smaller firms and in the marketing side of things. But not just that. I mean, I feel myself as somewhat of a coach when I'm talking to my small business clients, because things that we've done that's been successful, I'm happy to talk to them. I don't charge for coaching. That's not my play. But if I can add value or talk about processes or systems or culture or whatever, I'm going to naturally do that. So I just obsessed with small business, and it needs it more, right? It needs the help and the guidance. They can't afford to have a C-suite and all these other things in place sometimes full time. And working with you, Andy, over the last few years in law firms specifically, you acting as their CEO and helping them with lots of those roles and things like that. So there's so much a small business in need. And you can read a book and learn it all, but you can't apply it all. And it's just the time it takes to soak it up and be ready for some of the stuff that you might pick up. I know I've learned over the years that's just, you might learn something and 5 years later, you're ready to apply it. You're not already at that point in time when you do the things that you should do. So there's just a lot. There's just a lot there to cover. But yeah, I love what you're doing. And, the clients that I interact with that you've helped, it's, on both sides, it's just, they need it. I like to see them grow, and I'm happy when we can help you help them. So,
well, I think one thing you've seen about our relationship is I'm pretty hands-on. I work alongside my clients. I'm not just somebody who's directive. And so I've been on a lot of calls with your team, with my clients, or even without them, just representing them, just to make sure that everything's aligned and that they learn how to understand how to communicate with you and you communicate with them, so they get the most out of the relationship, as opposed to just instructing the client to do so. And you have to know when the client needs additional help. And one of the things I pride myself on is not taking on too many clients, and being able to work alongside the clients, as opposed to just being kind of the drill sergeant.
No, absolutely. And I think as an agency, you're intimidated. Oh no, they have a coach and they want to be on a call. That's not in our process, And I feel like we're a little bit more abrasive towards the idea early on, but I've had conversations with my team. Listen, they need coaches. Like, we need coaches. So let's not, be like put down by, oh, they got to have a coach and they want to be part of a call. Like, that's a good thing. They're trying to grow. They're trying to improve themselves. Let's prepare for it instead. And now it's more of a trigger moment. Hey, they have a new CMO coach. What does that mean for us? So let's have a process for that.
Right.
So that we handle it. And instead of going, oh crap, what do we do? There's this new person that's asking questions. So I think from our perspective, we needed to say, hey, they have this. We know what to do. Here's how we handle it. And it might require an extra meeting for us. Or, what does that look like? Some agencies charge for extra meetings, right? We don't, but it's, I think agencies should be prepared and accept that.
Well, I don't try and create extra meetings. I hop on kind of a meeting, you know, the next scheduled one.
Yeah.
And we kind of changed the dynamic a little bit. And the goal is to make it better and easier for both parties, not harder. And the only reason I get on those calls sometimes is because the client doesn't really understand what they're getting and what they need to give in order to make it successful. And that happens with bookkeepers. That happens with, you know, recruiting firms. That happens with a lot of outside providers where they're just not experienced enough at doing it. And I've been doing, you know, I'm not a marketing professional, but I've managed marketing teams and been engaged with marketing firms long enough that I know what to ask or to share, you know, so it proves valuable. And the result is the relationships endure and the results, you know, that they're looking to achieve are achieved. And unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of things that are not a direct line. You have to know what a realistic timeline is and what good metrics look like and things like that. And it doesn't always translate, you know, from a dashboard report.
No, 100%. And yeah, it's whatever type of, you know, coach you have or what kind of interaction you have with a vendor or a partner, and you spot on there, because I know for our clients, like our clients have a part in the relationship and there has things that they need to do because their firm is theirs, their brand. And so coach adds a level of accountability and helps them navigate it versus it just us telling our client, we need this, we need that, here's what this is. So yeah, it could be a really good partnership there, because at the end of the day, we're trying to help our client that's hired us to do something. But a lot of times our client is the reason we can't do what we need to do or be successful as we need to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that coach that's holding them accountable and saying, hey, we really need to do these things or this doesn't make sense. You know, we're not investing this properly. So I think that's pretty strong right there for sure.
A lot of folks I recommend should have a coach. I have my own coach and it's to keep me accountable and to make sure that I'm seeing the forest through the trees. And they're different coaches, you know, and a lot of people, like when they try and hire somebody, they hire somebody for their experience and skills and really don't know how to judge fit.
Ooh, yeah.
And you know, I'm not the right fit for everybody. There are other professional services groups and organizations and trainers that have bigger communities that do some different things, and that might be the right fit, you know, if that's what you want, and that's great. But make sure you know what you're looking for. If you're looking for community, if you're looking for just somebody who can check in on you, and you're looking for somebody who's directive, that's one thing. If you're looking for somebody like me, you're going to get somebody who helps you look past the hood of your car so you can see down the road to know what you've done, because I've helped a number of businesses, including my own exit. So I know what I look like. I try and take a look as if I'm an investor. Like if I was going to invest in your business, what would I be looking for? Because those are the things that are really needle movers and things that increase the value in your business. So what I try and do is I try and provide innovative approaches, so I keep my clients ahead of the game. And you know, I'm well versed in AI stuff. And being able to implement some of those things, not to get on the wave and try and be cool, but to actually integrate a few things that can make your life easier or more productive. There's a lot of talk always about revenue growth, but not about profit growth. So just really understanding what levers you can pull to really scale but generate that profit, and then really what it takes to find the best referral partners as opposed to just referral partners in general. So those are some innovative approaches that I try to instill. I really try and get my clients to focus on what works and moves the needle as opposed to what they like to work on or what the shiny new object is or what comes across their email today. And it's always good to have an accountability partner, somebody who says, this is what we're going to get done. And we each say we're going to get our own things done, because I help. I don't just advise and come back the next week. I do my part and we measure that. And then as I said, I work alongside. So, you know, when something needs to get done, I can help step in, and I don't try and do it in a way that takes away from their learning or growth. It's because it needs to get done, or they don't have the skill set, or they need the help. And it could be interviewing that last candidate just to, I have a client on vacation for a couple of weeks and they have a relatively new person on their team. And rather than just waiting the 2 weeks and then picking it back up, I'm actually meeting and helping to train that person. Wow. So, you know, keeping them productive. And so, you know, and I find that a lot of clients that I work with, their struggles are, you know, in the HR area, finding the right fit for the candidate, understanding hybrid work and the new way people work and how to make sure they're most productive and how to develop them. You know, and nobody went to law school, nobody went to their, you know, got their CPA and, you know, really learned about HR techniques or training or, you know, things that, you know, they learned their It's, you know, they struggle with the HR a lot, especially in this environment. They struggle with finances because they hate numbers. You know, and accountants like numbers, but they like working on other people's numbers, not their own numbers all the time. And so, but data is really important. So having that and then really focusing on your avatar as opposed to accepting any client who's willing to come in and pay you is really important and drives things. So I always tell people to always use data first, but that when you want to make a decision, your initial instinct is really a good one, but make sure to have that data for sure.
No, I mean, yeah, a lot of what you're talking about to me is, I think of running and gunning. So you're running around like crazy, trying to do the work. And then versus like focusing on things, having time and things in place, process in place, having that new employee, but having time to train or have a platform for them versus just, okay, here's your first day. All right, I'm off. See you later. And then that person's just, you know, going to figure it out themselves.
Right.
So obviously two different kind of point of views there. Like, you know, and I see law firms that run and gun and you can kind of tell that that's how they operate versus the ones that, you know, are more sophisticated. They've took the time, they've got systems and processes in place, and that just it's a lot of more things to focus on, but it's just necessary.
And I structure my weekly meetings with a focus and a theme each week. So it's not if other stuff comes up that we can't talk about it because stuff happens, but we make sure to cover certain important aspects of running a business each month that my clients need to be prepared for, to be able to have the data, having assessed it, having being prepared to defend it or talk about it or explore it if they have questions or concerns. So we can cover the aspects of the business and achieve their goals each month, each quarter, each year.
I like that actually a lot.
Yeah. The thing I'm most prideful of is that kind of structure and accountability and working alongside you is really what generates results. I'm a really results driven person. And because that's at the end of the day, that's what it's about. I'm not, you know, I'm friendly with folks, but they don't hire me to be their friend. And so it's about results. And over the past year, the clients that I've worked with have generated 40% revenue growth collectively and 60% profit growth on an annual basis.
You gotta have profit. You can't just have revenue.
Yep.
No, I love that structure because I feel like if you just had a meeting with a light agenda, it'll get overrun probably by the same type of topic and issues that they want to talk about consistently, right? So you're not hitting on those other pieces of the business. And you can't just show up with a new client and then we're going to cover every part of the business that you need to work on. Like that would be overwhelming and they wouldn't probably they wouldn't know where to start. So
yeah, they want to be led actually. And if they're not, then it falls into the, you know, the topic of the day, what's on their mind, the complaint zone, you know, and then they feel like they've been heard, which is great. And they feel like they have a sense of connection, which is great, but is it really moving the business in the right direction? In the right way. That's at the end of the day, what we look back on when the contract term that I have is up and they realize that they've really been helped and want to continue with the relationship.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you mentioned in there too, was fit. So hiring and employees and fit in roles, like that's such a big part of getting this right. And because if you have good people that want to be where, you know, be where at your place of business and care about it, I mean, that's going to drive the business for sure. But
here's an example of why people have trouble with fit. I've had a couple of relatively new clients who hired new people. And one of the things I advocate is that they have really defined structure for the first week for them to come on board. Beyond that, they still need structure, but it doesn't have to be, you know, day by day, morning, yeah, afternoon, in terms of topics that you're covering, but it gets you off to a good start and it sends a good message and you're organized. But when I do this intentionally, give them an opportunity to put together what they want to present and how they want to bring them on board, I would say 7 out of 10 times the firm owner, you know, the client basically does not have one of the first things on their agenda is what their firm's about, what makes them different, what their culture is like, how we communicate best here, you know, all those kinds of things. They want to get right into the work.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, what is it that makes our firm unique? You know, how can you best fit in and how can we best connect with you to make sure that you're successful are kind of the first things that should happen. And I would say 7 out of 10 don't understand that just because they haven't done it or they haven't done it well. And so when I mention that and make that suggestion, they embrace it and it makes a difference, not just in terms of how they land that first day, but frankly, when they're talking with their friends or their colleagues or new people that they run into, they're able to actually articulate that. This is what's unique about us.
Well, especially if they're interacting with clients, how that experience is, they can tell if they like where they work or they enjoy it versus they don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to resonate throughout
100%.
You know, the rest of the culture or, you know, or the clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's super important. I think, yeah, a lot of owners are just like, well, they should just be happy because we gave them a job. Like, they get to work today. Let's roll. And that's just not a good way to kick things off.
30, 40 years ago, I worked at IBM. I had an internship at IBM. And, you know, that was a situation where you were an employee. The dynamic was very different. What I mean by that is you kind of lined up, you dressed in your blue suit and your white shirt with your, you know, with your tie. You showed up every day, but you had a job for 40 years. You know, there was no, it was a different dynamic. Nowadays, people want to feel like they're understood, like they have a sense of control over their career. And so, you know, and given the nature of hybrid work as well, it's making sure that you're getting the most out of them while allowing them to be people and parents and all the things that are going on, you know, nowadays.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I was mentioning there's a book. It's still in the middle of it, actually, but it's Mike Michalowicz, who's written a lot of good books, but he's got a new one out called All In. And it's about being all in on your employees and your staff and, you know, having a culture of A players, you know, and it's a, you know, just some interesting stuff in there that I've already gotten through, which is pretty cool. And actually I have Mike coming on the show on the podcast here soon.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, I'm a fan of his. I've read his books and, you know, it's Simon Sinek, well-known guy too, you know, talks about leaders eating last. So there's something about not having to be the smartest person in the room or the first person who speaks or the person who has all the ideas, because that makes them feel more important or more in control. People who invest in their teams, especially those who are customer facing, you know, have far better results. And frankly, the best ones are actually able to innovate and bubble up more ideas because those folks on the front lines hear what the customer concerns are, what their needs are, what they want changed, and they feel like they can bring them to their attention of the firm ownership and they'll be heard in the right way. That doesn't mean that they'll be implemented or agreed to or anything else, but at least there's a culture and an ability to do that. There are a lot of things I've done wrong. There are a lot of things lessons I've learned. But one thing I always got right was treating your employees like partners and not being their boss and listening and looking out for them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if a client's unhappy with your account lead or other team members who are your representatives, that's, you know, that's your lifeline.
100% spot on. And I'm, you know, I see it here. I was just on a call the other day. We were looking at a client that, you know, we're just coming up with some new ideas to have better performance. And we came out of the call with a few new, like, products and service ideas and new ways we can help. And, you know, just watching the team come up with all these different approaches to deal with different situations is just, you just sit back and be like, wow, this is awesome. And, I think the major thing is, if you're a small firm listening and, you know, you're a solo, maybe with a staff member or two, I think it's more challenging because you're doing so many things. You're running around, you're wearing a lot of hats. And so I think it's harder at that point because you're like, I got so much to do. How do I focus on this employee or trying to build out these different things for them? So I think that's a more difficult spot versus kind of where I am now, you know, where we have leadership team and I just focus on one thing. I don't do the work anymore. But If you can spend the time, get a coach like Andy, have someone else to be there to help with those things, I think it's a crucial point in your business. You need coaches all the way through. But when you're small and starting out, it's the most crucial time to have someone like that. And then you'll probably never not have a coach after that point. But so I just think
there's an inflection point. There's an inflection point that a lot of small professional services firms, including law firms, you know, they don't get past that $500,000 mark.
Yeah.
And it's because they're in court or they're serving customers because they like to do it and because they're good at it. And they want to do that because it puts money in their trust accounts that they can then move to their operating accounts. But at the end of the day, it doesn't allow them to scale. And scale is about doing more with the same number of headcount. And I mean, that's kind of the definition of scale. So there's an inflection point where people have to say, where is it that I can hire more people and delegate more? And how do I do that? And that's not an easy decision, but you need certain momentum and you need certain belief in yourself. And you have to have some of those systems in place to make those bets. And if you make those bets, you want to see them through. Not every bet's a good bet. And then you have to, you know, be able to make sometimes tough decisions about, hey, that person didn't work out, or I expanded that line of business, or that opened that new office and it wasn't the right choice. Rather than hanging on to it, actually cut your losses and move on to the next thing, as opposed to hanging on to it. And you know, when you're an established law firm or professional services firm and you're trying to get to that next phase of growth, it's just as important. You know, I have several clients who don't have any problem with sales and marketing, but they have problems with retaining people. They have problems with consistency to be able to manage and predict their cash flow, so they know what's okay, you know, what kind of distributions to take or where to invest, and you know, how to grow to that next level to give them that next level of income or the next level of impact that they want to have in their organizations.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, with scaling and hiring, like, if you're not focused on your team and your employees and culture, you might go a little bit forward, then you have a setback again. People turn over. They don't stick around. And you can just consistently have the problem of trying to fill those roles again. So definitely important to take the time to focus on those employees and the team and figure that out, because you know, you hope they stick around, but not everyone's going to stick around forever. So, but you want to get the best chance you can to be like, you know, they want to be here. They want to be part of this. They're going to make that scaling a lot easier for sure.
If they feel that they can be heard, have an impact in terms of what their role is, have the ability to grow, and have the ability to make a fair living, most people who have those several things won't be looking for other opportunities. Yeah. Things may come their way that they want to consider, you know, when things in life come up. They relocate their family. They decide that they, you know, need to work from home full time. Life change occurs, you know, sick parents, you know, those kinds of things. They just happen. And sometimes things happen with clients. It's why you always have to have your new business development engine moving, because clients change. You know, their needs change. And so you always have to be bringing in new clients all the time.
Yep. Nothing's consistent. Always something exciting happening with the business. So yeah, so these are all, all important things. And so, I like your approach to coaching. And, I think, a lot of successful attorneys that I have on the show, most have had a coach or organization or something that they're prescribed to. But I think it's the new solos or the new attorneys listening. If you don't have a coach, that's something you need to do. Like, it's not even a question. Who's the right fit for you? Is it Andy? I don't know. But and Andy would say he's very selective and he has just a handful of handpicked clients. But I would urge you to at least reach out to Andy and talk to him and see who might be the right fit for you. But Andy, I guess I wanted to wrap us up with a few different questions here at the end. One, wanted to find out, what's a tip you would give, a solo or a small attorney that's starting out in their own. I actually have meetings next couple of weeks with a handful of solos that haven't started yet. They're like, I'm still at a firm, but I'm about to start my own thing. And they have a timeline and a date picked out and all this good stuff. And they're already talking to me, which is actually encouraging. That's pretty cool. We're typically talking to firms that are a few million dollars in revenue and up. I'm happy mm-hmm. to help the solos, but they're coming to me for advice right now. And I'm talking them through what to do and how to get started. But what advice or a tip would you give someone like that?
I think the most important thing, everybody's heard cash is king. So there's truth to that. And when I started my real estate firm, the partners and I that joined up together worked for a larger organization that had done well with providing services to like Fortune 500 firms. And some mid-cap firms had approached us and basically said, hey, we're interested in your model and outsourcing some of our commercial real estate to you. Would you be interested? And our senior management basically said, no, we're focused on the Fortune 500. We see a lot of green pastures here. And so some of the folks I worked with and said, if we wanted to start our own firm, those would be pretty good clients for us. Maybe we can talk to them because they were disregarded by this bigger company. And so we literally had a pathway to get started where there were clients who were willing to pay. There was validation in the marketplace that the offering that we had was good. And those are the things that you want at the beginning. And so if you're working for a larger firm and want to start a new firm, hey, more power to you. A big part of being an owner of a firm is managing the risk every day. And obviously taking advantage of the opportunity, but managing the risk. And the best way to get out of the gate is not just say, hey, I've been at this for several years. I think I'll just put my name out there and create a website and people just start calling. Yep. Right. Yep. You really have to generate some momentum out of the gate to make sure that your value proposition and your offering are validated and valued and that people are willing to pay for it. And it doesn't mean you have to be scaled from day one, but you actually have to have some cash flow to get going and to be sustained. The reason most professional services firms go out of business is because they either don't have enough clients or they don't have enough cash. And so those are two ways to, address that from day one. That's a lesson I learned 30 years ago. So that's what I would suggest. And I work with law firm owners who are larger, not just small ones, who are in the multi-million dollar range, who want to open a new office and don't know how to go about it, or want to explore a new service. And I say the same thing to them. The foundational methodologies don't change. Don't just put out a new app or a new service or open a new geography just because it's worked. Your core service has gotten established now. And the office that you're in is working now. You actually have to talk to people who are willing to be early adopters and buyers of your service so that you can feel good about the bet that you're making and reduce that risk.
Yeah. Or, obviously within business, there's certain, plateaus you'll hit. How to get to the next step, how to get to the next level. What does the business need next? Right. And, with your experience, you've been past a lot of those areas all the way to the end. So having that experience is important. So we've we've plateaued here multiple times. You know, you go up and then you come back down and say, hey, well, what do we need to fix? And it can take a lot of time and energy to figure that out.
Well, you start off, you go down, you go back up, and then you plateau. And you're hoping that that growth will just continue, and it doesn't.
Yeah. You got to make some change somewhere.
And you have to make the change before you hit the plateau. You have to anticipate it. And you have to see what's going on in the marketplace and what's changing in your firm and where to make those investments before you do that. And that happens in every business, large or small. You're going to have cycles, and you have to be able to enhance your value of doing what you currently do or expand your service in one way, shape, or form. And if you just try to increase your prices, that doesn't always work, you know, unless you're really adding more value, because others, your competition's trying to add more value every day.
Yeah, good point. Good tips. Well, Andy, I appreciate your time today with me and sharing, why should I have a coach and the different aspects of it and how you coach. I hope people can learn from what you've shared today, of course. What's the best way that our audience can reach out to you?
The best way is check out my website or my LinkedIn profile. My website's midcourseadvisors.com. Midcourseadvisors.com.
All right. And I'll share that too.
And you can schedule a free consult. My company's called Midcourse Advisors because the midcourse is kind of like 80% of the life of a business. And in a rocket ship analogy, that's where a rocket ship makes its adjustments during its midcourse. So it's midcourseadvisors.com. You can schedule a free consult, or you can look me up on LinkedIn and see my background and what it is I do. But hopefully you got a snippet of that today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And of course, anyone, I talk with Andy often, and if you need to connect with him, you can always reach out to me, and I will make the introduction by email or by phone, whichever you want. So appreciate everyone. So Andy, thanks so much again for joining us, and everyone, we'll see you soon. Go find a coach if you don't have one and grow your law firm. We'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.